When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Believe in K-Pop. Sorry for the late episode this week. I have been moving out of my place in LA. So we did this interview with the lovely Amari from 106 in Seoul, the 106 in Seoul podcast, but I've been in and out of editing and all that stuff. So saying bye to friends and stuff like that. So I am very sorry to have this episode to you guys pretty late. We will have another one on Monday for sure. Hope your weekend went well. Hope your weeks have been going well. And if you are American listening to this podcast, hopefully you have a nice, safe 4th of July Independence Day weekend. And yeah, I haven't said this in a while, but as always, and I haven't done this in a while ever since the Discord podcast that I had with Nate from Truly Daybok. But you guys can still join the Discord that we have going on. It's called Believe in K-Pop. It's the Believe in K-Pop Discord. Fairly simple. Sometimes I stream in there. I've been the last 2 weeks saying like, hey, I'm streaming today, everybody be ready. And usually the streams obviously here in the US come on pretty late in the day, like between 11:30, sometimes like that's not true, Eastern Standard Time, between like 2 and 5 a.m. 12 and 5 a.m. Daily. I will be like, hey, I'm streaming, and then I fall asleep. And so I'm just like, okay, now I'm not going to tell you guys what I'm streaming. I'm just going to say I'm streaming right now, and I'll go live. And so you guys can pop in at your leisure, because I hate going back on my word. But it seems as though that is a common occurrence in my life. Or just saying I'm going to do something and not doing it. So, I will just let you guys know when I'm going live. So, super excited to have Amari from 106 in Seoul, the 106 in Seoul podcast, on today. We had a really great conversation, but it was very funny. So, I hope you guys enjoy. Please go check out the 106 in Seoul podcast. They are hilarious. Aaron wasn't able to make it, but the two of them are just so fun to listen to. Like I said this many times, I genuinely laugh out loud. Not even just like an LOL. Like, it's like I will laugh out loud. In the car, I was sitting on my couch and I was just listening to something. I was like, oh my God, this is funny as hell. So go check out the 106 and Seoul podcast, S-E-O-U-L podcast. All right, guys, thank you for listening and enjoy. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Believe in K-Pop. We have a very exciting special guest. I say all the time I have exciting guests, but I'm actually very excited about this one because it's like, it's so different from the other guests that we've had on. I think the voices that we're having on right now are, or the one voice I should say from the voices that we're having on, it's such a different take that I haven't heard in different K-pop podcasts. So I would like to introduce Amari from 106 in Seoul, the 106 in Seoul podcast, on our podcast today. Thank you for joining.
Thank you for having me.
Yes.
I'm actually a fan of this podcast.
What? Really?
I also listen to your other podcast with GRE.
Oh, shit. Oh, wow. What? Yeah. You listen? Oh, shoot. Okay. Whoa. Well, thank you. I didn't know that. Wow. That's awesome. Whoa. Okay. That's cool. 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 Okay. I dig it. I didn't know you guys listened. But thank you for listening. I don't get that many listens on this podcast, I'll say, like, compared to In My Feels. Like, this is just something I do, like, on the side. Well, I try to keep up with for the small listeners that are there. But I appreciate it. I like hearing who are actually listeners. But I guess on that note, I said I intro'd with, like, the fact that you guys are different voices than what I've normally heard on K-pop podcasts. I literally said it last week on my, I think
it was last week or two episodes ago, I was like, I reached out to you guys about being guests, and I was like, this is the only podcast I listen to in normal speed. Like, everything else I listen to, like, times two, so that I can just get through, like, the information and stuff like that. But you guys have so many, like, comedic pauses and just, like little things that I can't, like, I will miss it if I listen double speed. And so I was like, dang, this is the only podcast that, and this is the legit, I'm gonna also say this, I'm just, like, I legitimately laugh out loud at y'all's jokes. Like, I, like, there have been many times, like, for the first, like, three episodes where I, like, burst out laughing because it's so funny.
I'm not gonna lie, I do be laughing sometimes too when I'm like editing the podcast. I'm just like, ooh, and then there's some stuff I'm just like, I need to take that out because we're just being fans. Really? And we can't say certain things, because like me and Aaron personally, like, we will clown our faves, like, regardless, like. And I know for some K-pop fans, that's not really, like, acceptable. So we just, like, we try, like, I don't think we try to be funny. It just kind of, that's how me and Aaron talk to each other. It's how we talk on the podcast. Right.
Like you said, like, even if you do cut some things out, there are definitely obviously some things that are still in there that, like, you could get somebody to find it and be like, oh, like, cancel yeah. time. You know what I mean? And but I think it's so funny that you keep it in there, which it just adds to, like, the authenticity of it. So mm-hmm. I wonder, like, when you're editing stuff, or when, you know, deciding what to keep and what not to keep, how do you, like, what do you decide to keep and what not to keep? Because, like, you know, some of it could, you know, be utilized in that way. Like, are you afraid of that, you know, of being quote unquote canceled for, you know, whatever? Or is it kind of like, you know what, I don't care?
I mean, for a while, when we first started, we tried to play it a little safe. We'd be kind of producing each other, like, behind the mic. Like, because sometimes we'd say something and be like, maybe we should cut that out. And then lately, it's kind of been like, we don't care. Because I know we have a new episode coming out, I think, like, this Sunday, and it's, yeah, it's a mess.
What? Oh, God.
But
wait, can you give us a hint on what it's about? Or I guess it'll be out before this podcast is out.
About nothing.
Oh.
Like, we have to record our Cheetah Girls 2 episodes sometime soon, but, like, this episode we recorded, it's literally just about nothing. And it's might be our messiest episode. Like what? Oh, shit, to keep? Okay. Is easy, because, like, if I do keep something, I might bleep it out or bring the volume down so people can't hear it.
What?
So, like, me, like,
oh, now I'm, like, very curious.
There are some names I mentioned. I was just like, oh, Mario, you need to go and bleep that out. We keep a lot. We keep, I'd say, 80% of the recording on the podcast.
So how, I feel like, how would you describe your podcast as being, you know, differing from other, like, K-pop podcasts, in like, the structure? I feel like it's very, because you guys are friends, it's just very, like, free-flowing. Like,
yeah.
There are other couple of podcasts that are, like, friend-based podcasts, but this is, like, very, like, I feel like there's no, like, I can tell that you guys have a, like, you have notes and stuff like that kind of set up, but, yeah. Like, I can't tell that it's, like, you're moving from one subject to another, if that makes sense.
To be honest, that's Aaron's help, because if it was just me, it'd be a script. Aaron helps move the show, like, along so easily. Like, in the beginning, I mean, still now, I still have, like, a ton of notes. It's just, I think from other podcasts, our podcast doesn't, like, really aim to be informational, even though I try sometimes. It's just two friends, literally in my living room, just recording. It's almost like a phone conversation, to be honest. Like,
yeah.
It's,
yeah.
The podcast happened kind of on accident. I've been talking about starting a podcast for a long time. And, like, she was like, if you start a podcast, like, we're doing it together. And I was like, okay. and then, I think it was, I think I originally wanted to do, like, a blog. Not a blog. Blog? Yeah, that's what it's called, yeah. And writing was exhausting. So, like, I was like, you know, it'd be easier to record this. It's just like, you're right. Recording without me. And I was like, I mean, you can join. And then K-Pop Critical was like, just record the damn podcast. And I was like, okay, I'll do it. And that's what happened. We kind of, like, the way we talk about K-pop is not, I mean, it's not that serious between me and her. Like, it's just,
yeah,
it's just entertainment to us. Like, we do make jokes about our faves. We do make jokes about people who aren't our faves.
Right.
But, like, all in all, I wouldn't say love. We like every group, like, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Y'all are definitely multi fans. I can tell.
Ooh, it's hard on me financially.
Right? But like, I wonder with the 106 and Seoul. I thought that was the most clever name. Like, I know it came from like 106 and Park. Like, how did you come up with that name?
Ooh, it was. It took us a while because there were many names before and they seemed pretty bland, and then I think I was on, like, YouTube watching this, I'm a troll, like, in my head, and, this is no offense to Cassie, love you, Cassie, I was watching Cassie's Me and You performance on YouTube when she was, when she performed on 106 in Park, and, like, it was really bad, and I was like, wait, 106 in Park, it's like, okay, 106 in Seoul, that makes, like, I was like, okay, like,
that's, yeah,
I think people will get it, yeah, and
right.
I think for a while, like, the original format was to react to 106 in Park performances at the end of every episode, but, like, then that got kind of draining, so we stopped doing that, but, like, the sentiment is still there.
Right. No, yeah, I like how you mix in. That's the other thing. Like, I've been so into, like, K-pop, like, I don't listen to that much Western music. Mm-hmm. So when y'all, like, will bring up, like, oh, like, you'll bring up Cassie or, like, you brought up, like, a Hayley Williams. Like, I don't know. I think Aaron brought up like, a Hayley Williams song. Yeah, like, that just helps. I'm like, oh, wait, okay, I forgot about this artist. What's the new stuff they have? So, like, it helps, like, kind of meld it together, I should say. Or bring it together. And I wonder, so I was looking through y'all's Twitter yesterday.
Oof.
And let's get into, like, I was looking through it and I saw, like, you know, you were interviewed by Teen Vogue. And obviously, you know, this is, like I mentioned beforehand, like with the ahead of the movement and everything that's going on right now, like people are starting to, especially like spotlight K-pop fans about how, like, you know, obviously they were behind, you know, whatever trendings, whatever, and are stopping the mass trendings of, like, white lives or all lives matter, whatever. But the way a lot of people have a problem with the way that these media outlets are covering it, as if, like, K-pop fans are just this, like, happy-go-lucky, like, we love each other, like, group of people. When, you know, that's not the case outside of just being, like, different fans of the group. So it's like, you know, sometimes it is completely racist. And, you know, when people step in for their faves and try to, like, you know, defend them for when they do egregious, like, cultural appropriation, like, it's when that kind of stuff happens, and then, you know, you have this, and it's like, oh, it is such a diverse, lovely place, but, like, sometimes it's not the case. Like, and I saw you definitely had some problems with how they were covering it. Like, do you think that it is necessary? So, do you think it would have been a better way to go about this, to contact specifically Black fans about, you know, the different, you know, ways that K-pop fans were going about, like, making sure Black Lives Matter was, like, the, you know, and, you know, that was the forefront of these conversations, or making sure that All Lives Matter wasn't going to be the trending topic on, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think it is important, like, to talk to, like, I mean, like, I will give credit where credit is due, like, when K-pop fans, like, like, they, like, raided that, those apps for the protesters and such. Like, that was really cool. I was like, wow, this is, like, a really cool moment. But then, like, it suddenly became, like, this weird, utopia of K-pop fandom that fights for social injustice, which I which was a weird narrative because like that narrative never existed before, and like K-pop fans are like it's a diverse array of people, and like there are many things within K-pop fandom and like just fandom culture in general, not even just K-pop fandom. Like there is a lot of stuff that contradicts the narrative that is currently being put out there, because even though that narrative is partially true at the moment, behind that narrative also lies the Black lives within fandoms that are being abused and doxxed, and even now still, like you could get like harassed by like fans on Twitter now, and while they have Black Lives Matter in their name, and it's kind of like ironic. It's been really interesting seeing how people react to the criticism of that, and people react to the sensationalism of quote unquote K-pop activism. Hopefully there are more articles out. I know that a lot of people aren't taking requests because, I mean, I know I'm not like taking any more requests, but like, because.
How many have you gotten?
Oh. There's been DMs, there's been emails, and then every time I was just like, nah. And there was like one reporter who was like, oh, like, you know, like this recorded segment for AP, and I was like, I don't know about that. Like
wow.
Yeah. I feel like that was too much. It's just all coming out of nowhere. A lot of people are like, a lot of the like same Black like K-pop content creators are getting the same request, and everyone's just kind of like, but like it's also interesting that some journalists are choosing certain people to fit their narrative, like certain Black fans to fit their narrative, and like Black people all have different opinions, we all don't think the same, but like it's really interesting to see that as well, because it's like you want to listen to and like, you know, share these Black voices, but you want to share them on behalf of what you already feel. So it's kind of like, which is, I kind of went on a rant yesterday, and it came out of nowhere because, like, I was thinking, should I say this? I was thinking about the Teen Vogue article, and this is no disrespect to the journalist that interviewed me, because like she was really cool, she kept everything I said in context and everything, but I remember reading the Teen Vogue article and being like, okay, like I'm in that article as like the like there are other Black K-pop fans in that article, but I am mostly the other opinion in that article. So it's kind of like rah 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 Amari, and then it's like, yeah, we've joined fandom for like, you know, to explore these issues, and then me just rah 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 like the Azealia Banks of K-pop Twitter. And it was just like, okay, like I'm really happy though people like still were able to read what I said properly, even though I did get blocked by like a certain fandom on K-pop Twitter, on my on my main and 106.
What, you got blocked by what?
Yeah, I was like, okay, I mean, that helps me, and that means like that lessens the harassment on Twitter. I mean, the notifications are already tailored, so I like under like the Teen Vogue like post, I was like, oh, it's like there's got to be more comments than this. So then I went on the Shiny Print, like it's another podcast I'm a part of, and I went to look at more replies, and I could see those replies from that account, but not from the other accounts. And I was like, that's interesting. Yeah. I'm also... let me not invite that drama onto this podcast. I'm blocked by all... I didn't know, like, that I had also, like, mutual... Like, I had blocked one of the participants in that... like, this is before article like even happened. And we had mutually blocked each other. I was like, wow, now we're in an article together.
Interesting. So it's like, it's not only just like the fact that these, you know, media are trying to sensationalize, you know, this K-pop unity or whatever, but it's also like some, you feel like there are some fans that are out there that are black as well, that are sensationalizing it, and they...
To some extent. I wouldn't say a lot. Just like a small few. And that's like within any fandom. Because I think, sadly, sometimes people... It's really weird because I've never like experienced this. But sometimes people are fandom before they're like a person. And I love K-pop. And it's like, it is a part of me. But it's not... It's not like I'm a black person, I'm a black queer person, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Then I'm a K-pop fan. Like, and I love K-pop, but I don't know if I could ever, like, for me, K-pop is just, it's beautiful videos, great pop music, great packaging, et cetera, et cetera. Even the reality shows, like it's something that's meant to be fun. And not even like, I don't want to say like, you know, black K-pop, like, cause you know, like I don't know those people. So like, I can't broadly speak about them, but, within K-pop fandom, it tends to get very too serious, I think. And then people want to protect fandom, but also their favorite groups. And I think that's where we're lost. Because, like, I think more so we should just be enjoying the K-pop. Like, if problems do arise within, like, you know, the way companies mismanage or cultural appropriation... We should hold the people behind the scenes and the idols and the companies accountable, but we also should not be fighting each other about that, because like there's nothing to fight about. We should just be enjoying the damn K-pop. Like,
I remember on the episode Diary of a Mad Black K-pop Fan that y'all had, Aaron was like, you know, yeah. She was like, I'm black before I'm in orbit. Like, I wish I could say like, I'm in orbit and like, that's my race, but like, I am black before I'm in orbit. And so it's like, it totally makes sense. And so like, I don't know. I wonder like, what's the best way to, you know, once this, I mean, it's already sort of like moved on, like how, like at one point it was like, everybody was like, but the one thing I will say that really pissed me off about a certain group that kind of took quite a while to respond to or like say anything, let's say, and people were like, and obviously people were feeling a certain way, like, oh wow, they're really not gonna say anything, all right, like I don't know if I can support this group or like this fan whatever anymore. And then they finally said something, and then the fans were like, ha, now talk. Like some other fans were like, okay, like you can stay away from the fan.
Oh, I know exactly, you know what I'm talking, what you're talking about.
Oh my, I was like, that is so sensitive. Yeah, because I remember
one of them talking like, we were leading the Black Lives Matter movement. And I was like, it's been around since 2012. Which is like, I follow a few journalists and like, they've been talking about these articles and they're like, they're like, they're mostly black women and like, they're just like, it's really difficult because all these assignments are going to like, these assignments are going to white journalists and et cetera, you know, And this is kind of like, and the way that it's being approached is questionable.
Who are some Black journalists that you I know one that works with Cult Scene, I believe. But I don't know of any other ones like out there. And that's my fault too, if we're not.
There's like Stitch. Stitch, I think that's her name. Yeah. I only know those people by Twitter names. Wow.
You can tell me.
Queen Tiwa, like T-I-W-A. There's multifaceted ACG. They have the Album a Day podcast.
Multifaceted ACG. I'm trying to think. Oh dang! Wow, I clearly am clearly behind. Whoa, like looking at all the people that follow. I'm like, oh shit. Okay. but okay. So thank you for letting us know a little bit more about how you feel about, everything that's been going on within the media and spotlighting.
Oh, let me shout out KDC also.
KDC?
Yeah, that's literally, I don't know how they got that Twitter name, but they got it.
KDC, is it literally just KDC?
Yeah.
Really?
They have the Learned Fangirl.
Oh, is it TLF Media?
Yeah, and like, I think KDC is one of the people a part of that.
Nice. All right, I'm gonna listen to this. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
How do you get that name, KDC?
I don't know, but she got it.
Now let's transfer, move into the subject. Let's talk about some of the things that I've listened to in your podcast that are the funniest things that I've heard you say. And I'm like, I have a couple questions. One, how did you come up with the name Yves? I mean, it makes sense, but Eves, like you, when you call her Yves, I'm like, I die every single time.
I'm so sorry, Eve, but like, I can't, like, I know Eve is your like company name, but like, Yves is what I see. Like, it's, and like, sometimes it's really weird with Luna, because I call some of them by their real names, some of them by like their names in Luna. I think Hasul and Heejin and Hyunjin, and like maybe I think every girl before the other two units are carrying their real name, and then everyone else is lucky to get like a fake name, which I don't know what's up with that. But yeah, Yves, I love Yves.
Yves,
she's
great. Yves. Also, why do you deem Jaehyun to be the whitest Black man?
Well, because like he is like I know like there's a lot of like but Jaehyun, like yeah, Jaehyun is Korean, but like Jaehyun and like alongside Johnny and my Mark Lee, they're very dare I say Caucasian. I just know they're Jason Mraz fans, and I know, because I saw Mark Lee playing I'm Yours on that ukulele in that JCC video, so oh I know God. He...
They're still the whitest Black, I love...
Yeah, like, Jaehyun is, like, Jaehyun, I don't know how old you are, but like, uh-huh. Like, back in the day, there was this white R&B singer named John B., and that's what Jaehyun reminds me of.
John B. Okay, I'm gonna have to look him up. Okay. And I wonder, so like you say like Tae-il is your bias, but like I was like, he is talking a lot about Jaehyun. But then y'all said you were like, he was like, Jaehyun, what did you say? You were like, Jaehyun, you are he's never available. Like he belongs to the streets.
Oh yeah, Jaehyun belongs to the streets. Like Jaehyun is not someone to bias. Jaehyun is like Jaehyun, like you on a date with your boo. Jaehyun's like tapping you on the shoulder, like, hey, what's up? It's like, give me an hour, like I'm still out here on my dates. And he's like, well, I can sit beside y'all, right? And like, no, Jaehyun, no, you can't. And then he texts you, like, what are you doing? Like, and you clearly see what I'm doing. Like, Jaehyun's that dude. And yeah,
I think you said like a lot of SM dudes belong to the streets.
Yes, a lot of them do. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I would have been in Itaewon with Jaehyun also. Like, I would have been out there. with 97 Line.
Oh my God, yes.
I wish Bam Bam came out too.
And then I think Aaron said this once, but she was like, she was saying, y'all talking about, this is all within the NCT episode. You were like, there's something what we talking about with Martine and NCT 127. And she was like, SM really wants us to fuck to some good music. And I was like, you know, I never thought about it like that, but.
I mean,
that's true.
When you think about SM, sometimes like they be having straight up sex songs, and this is kind of like, I didn't notice that until like I think it was Taemin's Ace album and the song Ace, and I was like, why is this song sound like this?
Thirsty. SM really, like,
they're just out here.
Another thing I noted that is that you love like It's On You by Teen Teen. That's such a good song. Yes, but like I this is played in like 4 or 5 episodes.
That is my song. It's such a good song. Those are my kids.
But you guys like will feature like I can tell like you guys are like, oh, let's talk about Teen Teen. I haven't heard anybody talk about Teen Teen at all. But I'm
me
like
neither.
I heard that. I was like, right? Right.
Me, it's like, oh my God, y'all should listen to B.O.Y.
B.O.Y. That's what I was like, whoa, wait, this is different. Like B.O.Y. and then what else was it? I think y'all talked about DKB when they first debuted, and I was like, yeah. Or not that when they first debuted, or I don't know when, but like you guys talked about that, and I was like, wow, like y'all are like featuring like these.
I don't like. How do I say this without sounding like? It's not. I mean, I guess it's. I like so many groups that aren't like as popular. Like there's this girl group Nature who I've been following for a while.
Nature, Bing Bing is my favorite song. Bing 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 Bing, like that song. How do you feel about what they just did with like their new release?
I was kind of shocked. I was like, this is like completely different. It's giving me Dreamcatcher. It's giving me Second Gen. And I was like, I'm okay with this. Because I love a good Second Gen comeback. When NCT gave us Superhuman, I was there for it.
That was very shiny. It was
literally a shiny
song.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
It was. How do you feel about, like, Punch and Kick It? I feel like when I think of, when you were mentioning Jaehyun and, like, he belongs to the streets, I just thought about the scene in Kick It when he walks out and he has this, like, he doesn't have a shirt on, but he has this blazer on top of it, and he's looking at the camera like...
Jaehyun knows he's fine. Like, I remember, I think it was something he was talking about, like, yeah, like, people were, like, I'm really shy, and people don't come up to me because they think I'm, like, really pretty, but, like, I'm really nice, and I'm just like... JM, but have you seen you? Like, I wouldn't come up to you either. Yeah. Like, right, you're intimidating. Right.
So, I guess for people that are listening and haven't checked out 106 and Seoul, where can they find you guys?
On Twitter and Instagram at 106ANDSEOUL, 106 and Seoul, like the city in Korea.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Thank you, Amari. I hope to see what you guys do with your other episodes. I cannot wait to listen. They literally bring, like, joy to my day because I literally... that is the only podcast I laugh out loud. Like, genuinely enjoy listening to y'all.
Thank you. Like, we try to be as positive as possible on the podcast.
It's so funny. It's so funny, though. I keep doing what you're doing, so thank you for that. And if y'all are ever in Atlanta in the next couple of months, please let me know. Yes, thank you guys for listening to Believe in K-Pop, and we will see y'all next week.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.